Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Reverend Frank Chikane is a member and initiator leader of the Defend Our Democracy campaign. A very good morning to you, Reverend. Thanks for joining us this morning as we try and battle our way through this very, very complex conversation. Help us out here.
Good morning to your listeners.
So it's the passing of F.W. de Klerk obviously is one that is national news. We know his involvement in the apartheid government. I was telling listeners a bit earlier, when I was at university in the 80s, he was the Minister of National Education. We absolutely detested the man. And as I mentioned earlier, I was this white privileged kid. If my reaction to him or his impact on my life was completely insignificant in reality. How do we deal with a person who had was part of such a hated regime, but then was part of the change? How do we process that?
Well, I must say that I'm surprised people are struggling with this matter, because it's straightforward. Mr. de Klerk is a child of his time. And he grew up in a family that believed in this apartheid system, whether you call it separate development. It doesn't matter for me,
of course,
because it means the same. The point is, in their effort to enforce separate development, they brutalized many families. Indian families were in their cities, were moved away forcefully. Colored communities in the Western Cape. My family was moved twice during my lifetime. In 1953, when I was about 2.5 years or so, and in 1962, within 9 years, we were moved for the second time without compensation. So that's why I don't understand this current debate about, redistribution of land with compensation, because they forget that they gave us no compensation.
Absolutely.
So Mr. de Klerk is a child of his time. He grew up and went into the top of the Nationalist Party. But the reality of the resistance of the people in the 80s made him and his colleagues, particularly the National Intelligence and Military Intelligence leaders, calculated that they would rather negotiate rather than continue with the war, because they would lose control. Later, they will not even be able to determine what happens into the future. And I think in my theological perspective, it's the praxis, the experience that made him to take this position. And he happens to be rational enough to accept that that's the only way to save these old people, and indeed must be credited for having taken that bold stand, because it was risky even amongst these people. I remember when we debated the whites on the referendum, some of us started by saying, no, you can't have it. But then we got to understand that if he does not have it, he will not have the support of whites to do what he was supposed to do. And so we ended up ignoring that white referendum and let it happen, and hoping that the results would then enable him to do that. So he has done that. He participated in the transition, and he must be given a credit for that, because he's done it. But the real challenge was, does he see things differently? Did he move from the apartheid way of thinking, the racist way of thinking? He struggled with it, because when I was in government, we interacted with him. And at one stage I said, it's a very simple matter. You just need to say, this thing was wrong, it was evil, and we have changed it, and we accept that it caused pain. But because he was a lawyer, he found it very difficult to do that, because he felt you'd be condemning his parents and fathers, forefathers and mothers, and also opening himself to risk of being sued or whatever the case may be. So he had difficulties. It's a pity that the piece that has been shown yesterday came too late. I wish he did that 2 years or 3 years
absolutely
ago. That would have settled the matter.
In terms of, you know, from a Jewish perspective, obviously, and from a Christian perspective, there is this concept of being able to, reform, acknowledge the errors of your ways, make change, and then almost not be judged in many ways for your past. Do you think that he actually did that?
Well, I don't think he did it on time. I mean, as I'm saying, the piece I saw yesterday for the first time, which he did, I think.
Yes, I just played it for our listeners as well. And there was definitely a sense of sincerity there, I thought. I mean, I know that people have criticized it because he didn't say it was a crime against humanity, but he acknowledged the evilness of it, I thought.
I am saying that this should have been shown before he died.
Mm, absolutely right.
You see, I think whoever was managing this managed it so badly. Right. Even if he said it on his deathbed, they should have announced it at that point.
Yeah.
But to wait until he's gone and then play it doesn't help too much. But in any way, Mr. de Klerk, it's gone, and condolences to his family and his offspring. It wouldn't help too much to debate his history. The point is that that's his history, and it will stay in the annals of history for posterity to read about.
Absolutely right. Reverend Frank Chikana, thank you for taking the time to speak to us and for bringing us a very, very interesting and valid perspective.